I wonder if you've made any choices recently. Maybe you had to choose some things to put on a little list to say, I'd quite like these things for Christmas. And wherever you send your list, maybe you were lucky enough to get some of those in your Christmas presents on Christmas morning. Maybe you've been choosing things for other people, gifts and presents or food in your house. Maybe we've made some big choices. Maybe we've chosen a house or a job. Maybe we've chosen a life partner and asked them if they would consider marrying us. Maybe we've chosen things like what to have for dinner. Maybe we've chosen things like where to put our bed in our bedroom. Maybe we've just chosen what book we're going to read next. They're still going down. It's all right. Folks at the back, hold out hope. You might get some. Choices are wonderful things, aren't they? We get to choose. But I wonder if it's even better to be chosen. I think we've all done school PE lessons, haven't we? Where you have like two captains and everyone has to stand in a big group and be chosen for the team. I've been the last one. I'm not very sporty. It's a bit miserable, isn't it? Everyone else gets chosen one by one. And then somebody at the end is the last one who has to be the extra one because there's an odd number. Oh, okay, you can do the scoring or something like that. It's when we're first to be chosen, that feels amazing. It feels like we're accepted. It feels like we belong. It feels like somebody cares that we're in the team. My absolute favourite verse in the whole Bible is in that passage that Roy has just read to us. And if you did take a Bible, have a look at it. It's verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. As God's chosen people. God has chosen you. Now, we can have an interesting theological debate about whether he's chosen everybody or whether he's just chosen some people. But to be honest, I think you're chosen if you say yes, please. God has chosen to make his offer to everybody. You have been chosen because you have, I'm guessing if you're here, responded to that offer. In the Christmas story that we've just spent the last few weeks talking about and celebrating, God sends Jesus to come looking for each one of us, to come looking for you. He has chosen to do that, to come looking for you. You've been invited on the team, not at the back of the queue, but along with everybody else. You are chosen to be in the community, in the story, and in eternity. And notice this. Paul also tells the Colossian church in that verse to clothe themselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. All of those things are good things to do. And as I say, put them on your New Year's resolution list. They're things that help us to come together as a community, to live in peace and harmony with each other. But please notice the order in which things happen. We don't clothe ourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, etc., so that we can be chosen, so that we can be good enough, so that we can be ready for God to choose us. The sentence isn't that, is it? It's the other way around. Therefore, because you have been chosen, respond by doing these other things. New Year's resolutions go so far in making us better people or fitter people or healthier people or kinder people. But they don't work towards us being chosen. That has already happened when God sent Jesus to come to us and to be our Saviour. Now, I think it's time for a joke. That's all a bit serious. What is the most Christmassy vegetable? Everyone's thinking sprouts. Please, no more sprouts. The answer is peas. Did you know that? Because at this time of year, we're forever singing about peas. Peas on earth are mercy mild. Sleep in heavenly peas. Thanks for that groan. Now I know what it's like to be a stand-up comic. Peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Okay, we might need a different joke. But as with all memorable jokes, there's an element of truth in this one. At this time of year, there's an awful lot of talk about peace. Well, peas too, probably. But peace. The angels announce to the terrified shepherds in the field that this tiny, vulnerable baby, born where the animals are kept, is the Messiah, the Lord, the Saviour. And the angelic song booms out, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom His favour rests. But that vision falls in contrast to the here and now. And we need to be honest with ourselves. Whatever we might sing in our Christmas carols year after year, the truth is that there isn't peace on earth, and conflict is still very much a fact of life. Peace isn't just the absence of war. We still see evidence, don't we, where there's not war, of poverty and injustice and slavery and famine and oppression and financial stress and family discord. You see, none of those can exist if there's a time of complete peace. In his Christmas address of 1967, Dr. Martin Luther King said this: "The Christmas season finds us rather bewildered as a human race. We have neither peace within or peace without. Everywhere, paralyzing fears harrow people by day and haunt them by night. Our world is sick with war, and everywhere we turn, we see its ominous possibilities." Perhaps more poetically, John Lennon and Yoko Ono put it this way: "And so this is Christmas, for weak and for strong, for rich and the poor ones. The world is so wrong. And so happy Christmas for black and for white, for yellow and red ones. Let's stop all the fight." So what are we doing with this tension between the angels' promise of peace on earth and our own current experience? Is the peace declared by the angels just a fairy tale around which we gather our poetry and our songs and our carols and our nativity plays for a few days each year and just forget about it? The warm church, the candlelight, the smell of mulled wine helping us to forget. 2,000 years ago, the world was in a similar state. Bethlehem was an occupied territory, and God saw that people had made the wrong choices, because he gave us that gift of choice. Choice to do the right thing or choice to do the wrong thing. And so many of us had made the wrong choices. I'm wondering if anyone's sitting here with the taste of orange or strawberry or coffee in their mouth that they didn't realize what they were getting when they just took and passed on. People make wrong choices. And so, as any loving father would, he sent a solution. He did something to solve the problem. He poured as much of himself as possible into a human body. And not just a grown human body, but a tiny brand new one, born to Mary and laid in a manger. God, who created the whole of the universe, everything we can see and all that we can't see, stars and planets and mountains and seas and animals and you and me, the same God subjected himself to the limitations of a newborn baby. I can see one or two tiny babies around the room, and that to me is miraculous. And in doing so, in that moment of the birth of the God baby, the massive gulf between our totally perfect God and our utterly broken world was bridged. And this is where Paul is able to say to the Colossians later on in that passage, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Because you are chosen, because the angels declared peace, because God came in the person of Jesus to us, we can let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And every time the peace of Christ rules in one more heart, the possibility of conflict and poverty and famine and war reduces, because God has come to dwell in us. And so whilst we wait for the whole world to come under God's peace, perhaps our task for 2019, especially in such a divided time as we live in, is to know that we are chosen, that God has chosen each one of us before we do any good deed or any stroke of work. We are chosen, holy and dearly loved. And therefore, we have the opportunity to let his peace rule in our hearts, to imitate Christ, and to bring about one person by one person complete peace in the entire world. I think that's a wonderful invitation, and whether you've been celebrating that for Christmases for decades and decades, or whether this is the first time you've really thought about these things, as we go on through our service and we celebrate communion and we celebrate all that Jesus did for us, and then at the end of the service, there's an opportunity to rededicate ourselves to God using the words of the covenant prayer. Let's be a people in 2019 who remind ourselves and each other daily that we have been chosen by God. And therefore, whatever our situation and whatever our relationships and our life looks like, we can let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Amen. Amen.